We've been talking about worship this entire month of Christmas. And in this week, we know Christmas is Wednesday, and during Christmas season, we know we love to give presents, and we love to receive things, right? Everyone loves to receive a good gift. However, this month, we've been talking and challenging us about what can we bring to Jesus this Christmas season? Instead of just saying, God, I need something, what can I give back to you? And that's what I want to finish off today, just briefly in today's thought for us here. And so this week, I just want to talk to us about bring your gift here today. As we prepare, and maybe this week, this week you have some more shopping to do, and you're going to go out and try to find that gift for someone. But I want to ask you today, what gift can you bring to Jesus? And this is for the adults, for the kids in here, for our teenagers in here. What gift can you bring to Jesus this year? So let me read here. Here in Matthew, it says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. And this has been the Genesis verse for this series about, do we come and worship God first? Or do we only worship what we can get from him and what he can do for us? Later on here in Matthew, he writes here in Matthew verse chapter 9, he says, after they had heard the king, meaning the Magi went and met with King Herod. Remember, King Herod wanted to come and worship baby Jesus. It says that they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. The Magi came to Jerusalem, met with Herod, and the star went over Bethlehem to the vicinity where Jesus was born. And then going on here, in verses 10 and 11 for today, here's where I want to end our series on is this. It says, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child, meaning baby Jesus, with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The Magi had traveled over 545 miles to see Jesus. That's like traveling from St. Louis to Sioux City, Iowa. Let me ask this, would you travel that far to see a little baby and then give him gold, frankincense, and myrrh? Yeah, a lot of us are shaking our heads. No, that would not be worth it, right? To give a baby that unique treasure. But I want to highlight something here for us. This word overjoy is underlined. In the original language, this means overwhelmingly, supersedingly with joy. Or we might say a humongous joy. Have you ever been excited for something and you couldn't keep it inside of you? Have you ever gotten a gift or a job or you saw God move in your life or provision and you've ever been super excited, right? You just are so happy, you're just bouncing around. And you ever seen some of those shows on TV or on YouTube where someone gets a new car or someone buys them a house and their house just burned and they got a new house and they gave it to them and they're just overwhelmingly excited. This is this thought of this word. And let me ask you this, are you that excited with your gifts and what you can bring to Jesus this Christmas season? Now, you might be thinking to yourself, well, you know, Dan, I mean, I don't have gold. I don't have frankincense or myrrh. What are those things? Gold was the real gold. It symbolized Jesus' kingship. Frankincense represented the priestly role. The priest would offer up incense in the temple. And then myrrh was used for embalming or healing of wounds. And so I want to just start off today and just tell you this and just say, challenge you with this. Bring your gifts as an act of worship. Think about this. The Magi were considered the wise men of their day. They were like the Elon Musk of our day. They were rich, had talents and gifts, and they brought their gifts, their money, everything they had, and they gave it before the king as an act of worship. They bowed down before a little baby in a manger, that's kind of representative of what's behind me, and they gave him everything. They worshiped him. Are you willing to do that, to bring your gifts? But before I get to the end here, I want to bring up a... That's all right. Feedback is always good. Come on. That's right. That's all right, right? You guys know in Kids Point with Pastor Dan, right? You can talk and feedback, right? I'm with you, right? I don't want to give my gold, right? However, on your screen here is the little drummer boy. Anybody remember this from 1968, right? Now, and let me give you a quick history, just a very brief history of the little drummer boy. Has everyone heard the song, The Little Drummer Boy, the carol? Maybe you've heard it from a choir or on YouTube, or maybe you've been at a school play, you've heard that song. Yes, I see the hand. I love it. That's right. Kids, raise your hand. We love participation. Well, originally, this song was written in 1892. It was called The Juggler of Notre Dame, and it was written by Antony France, and it was an old medieval legend, actually. It wasn't named, actually, The Little Drummer. Later on, in 1951, the Van Trapp family singers, remember the Van Trapp family from The Sound of Music? If you've seen The Sound of Music, they actually were the first ones to record this song for mass production in 1951, and they sang it a cappella. With the whole family, and it went off the charts. And that day, we would say it went viral. It had millions of views on YouTube. It was just Just incredible. Someone had put this song to a chorus, a melody. And then later on in 1968, the Little Drummer Boy came out, the claymation, right? The Little Drummer Boy there with kind of a ragtag hair, a little sheep vest, and wearing some shorts and just having his little drum there. And what is the premise of the Little Drummer Boy? Remember the verses. The verses said, and here it says, "They came, they told me, to a newborn king to see, our finest gifts will bring to lay before the king." That's right. So, and then the refrain goes, "So to honor him when we come." Verse 2 says, "Baby Jesus, I am a poor boy. I have no gift to bring that's fit to give our king." And the refrain goes, "Shall I play for you on my drum?" And then the last verse says, "Mary nodded, the ox and lamb kept time. I played my drum for him. I played my best for him." Now, maybe Mary said, hey, buddy, stop it. I'm trying to get this baby to sleep. Like, do not wake the child, all right? All right? But the drummer came, the little drummer boy came and presented his best to the king. Now, we know this didn't actually happen, so just, you know, disclaimer, it didn't happen in Scripture. But have you ever felt like the little drummer boy in your life? Have you ever been there in your life? Or maybe currently, have you ever thought, well, I've got these gifts and talents, but is this good enough for the king that I know saved my soul, that's the master and lord of the universe, that gave us all this, gave us the light, gave us the things to make our clothes, to sit on, like he created the elements, he created the atoms inside of our bodies, like is what I have, and is it even worthy to give back to the King of Kings? Maybe you've said it this way, what do I have to offer Jesus? And it's a good question, what do we really have to offer Jesus, who has everything? Or maybe you've said to yourself, God has only given me the gift of fill in the blank. How can he use that? I've heard that from a lot of times over people over many years pastoring this church here. They've said, "Pastor Dan, this is my gift or skill, but I mean, can God really use that? Does it make a difference in what I do?" And the answer is yes, it doesn't matter. Now, Mary was told she was favored and she was going to be the mother to the Messiah of the world. In Luke chapter 1, the angel said this, and Mary said to the angel, and as the angel was encountering and talking to her, Mary said, "How will this be," she asked the angel, "since I am a virgin?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." I want you to hear that again. No word from God will ever fail. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be to me fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Isn't it interesting? Mary didn't say, "Oh, that's not going to happen. Oh, you know what? Who am I? I'm just a poor peasant girl from Galilee. I'm a virgin. I'm not even married. Like, God, you can't use me. But what did she say? She responded with expectation of belief. "God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I'm willing. Here am I. Send me. I believe. May your words be fulfilled." Mary had faith, but like all of us, sometimes we ask questions to confirm. You know, "God, I know you said you're going to provide. You're going to be with me. God, you've saved me. You've delivered me. You've redeemed my life, but I know you've given me this path. You've given me this job, this future, this wife, these kids. You've placed me here in Sioux City. You've placed me at Cross Point. But God, I, can you really still use me? I'm just a poor boy, like that drummer boy. And I've just got an old drum and a few drumsticks. Can you use what I have?" Mary said, "I'm the Lord's servant." And she knew that her gift was going to be fulfilled. But how did she know that? How do you and I know that whatever gift we have, that God's going to use it for his glory and might, and that it's going to change the world, it's going to change your family, change your kids, change your workplace, change your neighborhood? How do we know that? Let's turn here to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Once again, we're going to go back to Isaiah. And if you heard today, there's been a lot of prophecies in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah was used to foretell the coming Messiah. In Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7, is how Mary knew. Now remember, every week Mary would have gathered, just like you guys, would have gathered together to hear the reading of the scripture, of the word. And she would have heard this year in and year out, the prophecies of Isaiah. And listen to this in chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. It says, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress." Isaiah is talking about the forthcoming Messiah, the hope of the world. He says, "In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. Doesn't that sound like an overwhelmingly overjoyed? There's a hope and a future. Continues on, Isaiah writes, "For as in the days of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end." If you're here today and you don't have peace in your life, remember, Jesus has the peace you're seeking. "He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forevermore." Now, so far, Isaiah has said what the Messiah is going to do, but how is the Messiah going to do that? And think about if you're Mary, a poor peasant girl in Galilee, or think if you're here today, I'm just a guy or a girl in Sioux City, Iowa, at Cross Point. Lord, how are you going to accomplish this? The last sentence is the key. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Year after year, as Mary was growing up, she would have heard this and would have heard the promise. And then she was told, you were going to be the fulfillment. You were going to be the pathway to the Messiah being born. But Mary wondered, how is this going to be? And she remembered, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Mary could have thought, how will this child accomplish all that is prophesied about him? How will Joseph and I help him become the man he's supposed to be? Mary knew that her gift was fulfilled by the zeal of the Lord Almighty. I want to encourage us today, as it's Christmas evening, that what you bring before God is not in your own power or might. Your gifts and talents cannot do the things that God wants them to do on your own. But by his zeal and power in your life, or the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, God will use your gift and transform your family, your job, your neighborhood, and your future generations. Now, what is the gift we can bring today? What is the gift? Let me go on here. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, Paul writes to the church of Romans, he says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." In Romans 5, 8, Paul writes early in the book of Romans, he says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Christ came first, gave himself for us. And then what you and I get to do today is, in this time of Christmas Advent, we get to bring our gifts to him and say, "Lord, it's only reasonable that I give my whole self to you. I give all my gifts, all my talent, all my education, all my earthly values, everything I have, I give it to you. Because you came first. And in view of God's mercy," I want to highlight that, in view of God's mercy, God could have instructed Paul to write, "In view of God's wrath, his condemnation, his anger, his animosity towards us, you better do what I say." But what does Scripture say to us? From God's own words, "In view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies." We get the chance to bring our gifts and talents and our whole selves this Christmas season and give that back to him out of a love and out of a mercy and out of peace, not out of condemnation or hate or anger God's towards us. Yes, God is holy and pure, and sin can't stand around him. However, the Son came and made a way. And out of that goodness and that grace, we get to offer ourselves back to him. The Lord came to give, and he gave first. And his zeal will take your gift, your act of worship. When you give yourself, when you bring it this holiday season, this Christmas season, when you bring your gift and give it to him, he will take it and accomplish it. Because we know what Jesus said. When Jesus came to the earth, did he say, "I'm going to do my own will"? Did Jesus say, "Hey, I got this, God the Father"? And back off. He said, I've come to do what? The will of the Father. And he said, "Lord, I follow you." And when we give our gift, when we give it back to him, we say, "Lord, take it. We're going to submit it to you. We're going to follow you. And I know by your power and might, you're going to do this. And you're going to accomplish this." Now the Van Trapp family, how many of you have ever heard the original singing of the Carol of the Drum? If you can go on YouTube, you can look it up. It's an a cappella choir, and they sing. It's very beautiful. But however, a few years ago, back in 2016, for King and Country, the Christian band, many of you have heard King and Country, they played the Little Drummer Boy. Has anybody seen that on YouTube or that video of the Little Drummer Boy, or heard the song on the radio? All right, massively different, right? In the video, when they sang that song live, they have 13 percussion instruments. They've got bass guitars. They've got violins. They've got accordions. I mean, it is amazing. 16 million views on YouTube. I mean, just off the chart. And if we put these two together, we put an a cappella choir and then a full band, percussions and all the lights and everything, we might think, well, wow, For King and Country did it better. That's better. That's a better gift. They offered a better gift of their music. But I want to submit to us today, it's not about better. It's about this. It's this in our life. It's not about which one is best or better, but it's which one of them gave their all to Jesus. Which one of them played their drum as hard and as with joy that everything was in. Which one of them gave their all to Christ in obedience and service? Did the Von Trapp family use their gifts in obedience to Jesus? If you follow the history, the answer is yes. The answer is yes. They went out to promote the gospel and talk and to sing and promote choir, stuff like that. They went out, they did it. Has King and Country used their gifts to promote Jesus? The answer is yes. Vastly different gifts. In our humanness, we want to compare. I'll say this. I'm not the greatest public speaker. There's people in this room, and don't gasp and don't be like, that's right, Pastor Dan, that's right. Yeah. But there's people in this room that can speak better, have a better gift of oration than I do in this room. But is it about which one's better? Or is it about which one is submissive and submitting to Jesus, saying, Jesus, hey, I bring you my gift. I'm going to speak whatever you say, or I'm going to serve, or I'm going to give, or I'm going to make a business plan. Whatever I have, I'm going to give it to you. I'm not going to compare. Or I'm going to judge, or I'm going to serve, or help the needy, or whatever it is, or teach the young kids, whatever it is, I'm going to give it, not compare. Both of these groups, we shouldn't compare them to each other, but we should say, Lord, thank you that your zeal compelled these people to give their gifts and to play that drum as best as they knew how. To honor you with the gift that you had given them. The Magi used their gifts of education, wealth, science, and astronomy to anoint Jesus as the true king. Now think about this. Their peers must have thought, what are you doing traveling 500 miles to give a baby gold, frankincense, myrrh? And we don't know if they gave anything else, but think about it. The Magi were wealthy. They had things to give. Their peers must have thought, what were you doing? But the Magi didn't compare their gifts to their other counterparts, to the other wise men of the kings of the ancient East. They just knew that they were called to give and bring their best to this baby Jesus because he was the true Messiah that had come to free the world and give us a hope and a future. And so I want to end with this for us today. In this Christmas season, and as you're out shopping and as you're giving to others, I want to challenge you to give your best gift to Jesus this year. And I want to encourage you in this. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will play a unique song in and through your life with each gift he has given you. Whatever gift he's giving you this Christmas season, don't downplay it. Don't take it and compare it. Well, it's not like Dan or Kid. It's not like Jonathan or it's not like Jason or Missy or Tim or Dave. Don't take your gift and compare it. But take your gift and come up and say, Lord, you're going to play a unique thing through my life. Church, we need you in this season, this time and era of our nation and society. We need you to be that little drummer boy. If you ever seen the member of the Claymation movie, remember the drummer boy sitting in the back? And finally he comes up, and what does he do? Of course, it crescendos, and he's just playing that little drum, right? And Mary and Joseph, they smile, and as it's, you know, the Claymation, the animals bob their heads in time, like, yeah, that's a good beat, you know? And the little drummer boy worships Jesus. And in that, he gave all that he can and all that he could give. And so what my question for us here is before we sing and we end this service and celebrate, we gather together, is what gift will you bring to Jesus in 2025? What gift will you bring? Don't be focused about what you can give, but what can you bring? What gift does he want you to bring? Is it a gift of service? Is it a gift of obedience? Maybe it's a gift of repentance today, a gift of faith, a gift of trusting. Maybe you're holding back some things of your life. You say, and today is the day you can say, Jesus, I'm all in. I'm going to give you everything. Maybe it's a gift of sharing, a gift of loving, a gift of forgiving, a gift of rededication, a gift of maybe today is new life. Maybe you don't even know Jesus, but maybe today you can say, Jesus, I believe in you. You're the Lord and Savior of the universe, and you died for our sins. You rose again, and you're coming back for us. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you need to have that new belief, that gift of new belief. Or maybe you can give Jesus the gift of expectation, saying, God, I'm going to expect with great joy that you're going to use me this year, that you're going to do mighty things in my life, in me and through me, this year in 2025. So with that, will you stand with me here?